Ibn Abi Dunya, he narrates from Al-Hasan, rahimahum Allah, that he says that the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the world is like the example of a group of people that set out on a journey deep into the desert. And just as they had gotten so far along in their journey that they could no longer tell, have they covered more ground or is there still more ground to cover? Suddenly the food runs out. And their riding animals and the herds they bring along for food, they all begin to drop dead. And slowly the realization sets in that they too are bound to die a slow agonizing death. In that moment, a man emerges from the distance and approaches them. And this man is dressed in a classy attire. And there is water, moisture dripping from his hair. And they start to say to each other, this man has very recently been at an oasis or something, some sort of water source. And so he reaches them and he says to them, what's going on? They said, as you see, we're awaiting our deaths. We're literally waiting to die. We're on the brink of death. So he says to them, if I were to direct you, if I would guide you to fresh water and lush meadows, gardens and rivers, what would you do in exchange for that? They said, we would listen to you without exception. We would follow you and never disobey you, never depart from your instructions. He said, then give me an oath by God, by Allah. Give me a solemn oath, a promise that you will in fact comply. And so when they give it to him, he brings them very quickly, shows them the shortcut, brings them to the water, brings them to the lush meadows. And just as they begin to rest and enjoy themselves and rejuvenate, he says to them, let's go. We're leaving. So what are you talking about? We're leaving. What's going on? Where are we going to? He said, we're going to a very different water source. The hereafter, right? A very different water source and very different meadows, much unlike yours. Not like this. So the majority of them said, what are you talking about? We only found this after we lost any sort of hope in finding anything. What can be better than this? Why get greedy? We're happy right here. And a few of them said, what are you doing? Did you not promise and swear solemn oaths that you would listen to him? Was he not honest with us the first time around? For sure, he's not going to disappoint. He's not going to deceive us. At the end of the day, it was a crossroads. Some of them followed him along on the journey. They accepted this as the pit stop, and they kept it moving. And others said, no, we're staying right here. This is good enough. We're so blessed to be here. And as soon as they left, the group that remained behind, within a few short moments, they were overrun by an army. And every last one that remained behind was either massacred, was either murdered, or was enslaved for life, was taken as a captive. And of course, this example that is struck, brothers and sisters, has so many profound messages to it. Of them, of course, is that this deen of ours, this way, this path that Allah had carved for the world through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the invitation he extended to humanity through the Quran and through the Sunnah, the prophetic tradition, this is a path that offers food and drink, right? It offers peace, it offers prosperity, it offers value even in the immediate life. And that's part of how it appeals to people, that it's a natural way of life. It has immediate benefit to be harvested. Like, notice, when he came to them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the water dripping, right? It was noticeable that there was something special there. In the middle of the difficult desert, There's moisture dripping from this man, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And likewise, those who respond to his call, there is immediate benefit, there is immediate relevance, there is immediate revenue, if you will. Islam is real, and it's for real life, and it's for real people. But also, of the profound messages in this allegory, in this example, is that this world that Islam gives you the best of must never cause you. You have to stay cautious. It must never cause you to become complacent and satisfied with it, because that will get you destroyed in this world before the hereafter. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood this example very well. They received, through the guidance of Islam, the clarity of Islam, so much relief immediately in their lives, in terms of the coherence of the belief, in terms of the brotherhood that came with the faith, everything. But when it was time to sacrifice, they were ready to sacrifice. You know, you think about the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr, you know, you can speak about it for years. But in that first momentous battle, the Muslims had finally escaped persecution, finally got to Medina, finally got a little bit more comfortable. The first year they were homesick and the climate was different. The second year they're just settling down and the Battle of Badr erupts. The Muslims are outside of Medina. They find an army in front of them, 1,000 strong. They're 300 plus, and they're not equipped for battle. No artillery, nothing. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to them and says, "It's the crossroad, right? What are we going to do?" And so Abu Bakr radiallahu an, as expected, "We're with you." And he speaks good words, honorable words. And Umar stands up, honorable words. And then Miqdad says, "Ya Rasulallah, we're not going to say to you like the people of Moses said to Moses," as we find in Surah Al-Ma'idah, right? "You and your Lord go fight, we're staying right here. We're going to say to you, idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila, inna ma'akuma muqatilun. You and your Lord go fight, we're right by you. We're fighting alongside you." And so the Prophet ﷺ mentions them well and praises them. And you know, he's praising them. Why? It's not just courage. They could have said, "Men, we just escaped. We're just breathing. We're just getting some water at the oasis," right? And he praised them, but then he turned to everybody else, because everybody else was the majority, was the Medinans, right? And so the Medinans could say, "We just became Muslim," right? And so he says, "Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas, O Medinans." So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was one of the chiefs and the spokespeople of Medina. He knew, he's like, "Ya Rasulallah, la'allaka turiduna." You're waiting for us to speak, aren't you? Because they were more than 2/3 of the 300. So are you ready? Are you in or not? Are you marching with me or not? And so he said, "Ya Rasulallah, we believed in you and that what you came with was the truth. And on that basis, we gave you our pledge of allegiance that we will hear and we will obey no matter what. It's because we believe in you. We believe to march behind you." So he said, "Ya Rasulallah, go in any direction you please. Famdi, wherever Allah has directed you, fanahnu ma'ak, we're with you. If you march into the ocean, we're going to march into the ocean after you. لو خط هذا البحر لخضناه معك." He says, "Ya Rasulallah, and you need to know that we the Ansar are no less than the Meccans," right? "We the Ansar, لَصُبُرٌ فِي الْحَرْبِ. We are the most persevering of people in battle. We make history. لَصُدُقٌ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ. We have integrity when we meet our enemy," meaning we don't run away under any circumstances. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُرِيكَ مِنَّا مَا تَقَرُّ بِهِ عَيْنُكَ. And perhaps Allah will show you from us tomorrow in this battle what will cause you to be very pleased. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejoiced that none of them were staying behind at the oasis, right? None of them were saying, "We're happy enough here with the irrelevant Islam, with the passive Islam, with sort of the closet Islam, with the just the masjid Islam." And this is why at a later incident, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah has looked down upon the people of Badr, the people at that first battle, that in that most difficult hour, when they made that decision at the crossroads. And he said to them, Allah said to them, "Do whatever you want, you will be forgiven." Meaning, I have personally assumed responsibility to guarantee that you will never stray. If you ever err, I will make it up. I will guide you to repent. I will make sure your good deeds are, at the end of the day, a net positive more than your evil deeds. And that's why we have Islam today, brothers and sisters, right? We have 2 billion Muslims on the face of the earth. But how did it start? It started, in a sense, in a Badr moment, right? It was 300 individuals making a decision, a difficult decision, that they're not just going to be bystanders. They're not just going to watch history unfold. They're going to make history. And this is why Badr happens over and over and over again in this ummah, for this ummah to make its decisions. The Sahaba did not decide for us. There were a people before them that made decisions, and there are people after them that make decisions, and every person is going to have to live for eternity with their decisions. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us to make the right decisions always, to choose to be activated by this deen. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. You know, brothers and sisters, as I think also about the Battle of Badr, do you know what happened after each of them said, Ya Rasulullah, we're with you? He proceeded with strategizing for the army, and one of them also activates himself, right? Speaks up. And he's afraid to speak up because this speaking up could almost be inappropriate. His name was Al-Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu an. And he says, with the adab, the manners of a believer, he says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, you stationed the army here. Is that like something God told you to do? Or is this sort of just tactic, strategy that your mind guided you to? He said, no, it's just tactics. He said, this is not a tactical location. This is not a good place to station the army. We need to be elsewhere, to be closer to the water source so we can cut them off from filling up with water. And that made a huge difference in the battle, didn't it? 313 or 317, 318, whatever it was. They were not indexing them, right? Whatever it was, 310 or 20 some odd believers, every single one of them is what I'm trying to point out, felt a sense of ownership to contribute, a sense of ownership to be responsible, a sense of ownership to do their part. Look at the contrast. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Among the Israelites who disbelieved are those who were cursed. Allah's curse was invoked upon them. عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. On the tongues of Dawood, King David alayhi salam, the great prophet of Allah, and Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary. Peace be upon him. They were cursed on the tongues of these two prophets, the disbelievers from among Banu Israel. Why? ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. This is because of their rebellion, their defiance, and all the bounds they kept trespassing. What was it? What did they do? What was the crime they committed? The next verse explains to say, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَن مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا. They used to not stop each other, check each other from the evils that were done among them, under their watch. In other words, Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam saw people in their presence that said, none of my business. That said, it's the Prophet's job, right? And they would not amplify the voice of the Prophet. They would not own part of the solution. They would not stop each other from evil. So what did they do that was so wrong? They did nothing. That's what was so wrong. What did they do that was the crime? That they did not stop crime. That they silenced themselves. They censored themselves. And do you know what is so special about this ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That Allah praised this ummah, that this ummah, not just the Sahaba, this ummah speaks up even in the absence of its Prophet. Right? It doesn't forget the voice of the Prophet when he dies, alayhi salatu wasalam. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the greatest nation. Why? Ukhrijat lin nas. Brought out for humanity. Why? Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. You promote the good. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And you forbid the evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ And you have firm faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ There will never cease. This is the beauty of this ummah. The honor of this ummah. There will never cease to be a group of my ummah, of my nation, upon the truth, ظاهرين, apparent, visible, refusing to be invisible, refusing to concede, to resign to the shadows, refusing to be an observer of history. There will never stop being a group of my ummah, visible, ظاهرين, upon the truth. And the applications are many, of course. And it is our job to not limit ourselves to the examples that the Khatib is going to give in a minute or two. Whether we're talking about not being invisible in this election run and not going invisible after the election run, right? Not being irrelevant when it comes to building power and wielding power locally and globally. When it comes to this institution that we wish to build, so that it can be an incubator for building families, for networking Muslim businesses, for creating a megaphone for Islam and mass conversions, bi-idhnillah. All of that is a part of it. How do I make sure I don't just live and I die without leaving a mark? The same way the people of Badr in their moment, they left a mark. The people will look back at this moment, brothers and sisters, 100 years from now and say, they built amazing, active, potent masajid in America. They turned the narrative. Finally, after 100 years against our brothers and sisters in Palestine, they turned it back in their favor. And perhaps it will be much sooner than that. And that is not difficult for Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal activate us with this deen. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to live gratefully for the guidance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. May Allah Azza wa Jal make that the reason why we live and we breathe and we wake up in the morning and we go to sleep at night. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those that because of this deen we make the world a better place. That because of this deen our family stays together. That because of this deen we earn an income and we spend our wealth. That because of this deen we leave this world saying La ilaha illallah.